TireChecks.com.
Morning, February the 10th.
Right.
Black History Month, 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, February the 10th, 1987, Black History Month, and we are going to talk about Jim Fraser and I, about black radio in Milwaukee and how it all got started and who were the people and where are they, what are they doing today, are they around? Oh. We'll find out all of this and much more, but I got to talk to Fussy Fussy and I'll be right back.
Filling out your 1986 income tax forms can be difficult or simple. The simple way is to call Dr. Patrick Fussy, 931-8900. Dr. Fussy will show you, just as he's shown many others, how you can legally get back all your money. Just call 931-8900. Dr. Fussy, expert in tax preparation, doesn't merely fill out the forms. He digs up deductions, educates you on how to earn additional tax write-offs. He can even show you how to turn most everyday expenses into a tax deduction. Today, learn how to write off your car, rent, mortgage, utilities, travel, and entertainment expenses. Plus, since tax forms will be different in 1987, Dr. Fussy will give you tips on how to legally get back all your money in 1987. Dr. Fussy guarantees that if you're not completely satisfied with his service, then you pay nothing. That's right, satisfaction guaranteed, or you pay nothing. So today, get the largest tax refund check you've ever seen. It's simple and easy. Call Dr. Fussy, 931-8900. 931-8900. Call now.
Yeah, Dr. Fussy, I tell you, and always remember this, if you tell Dr. Fussy you're going to do something, please do what you say, because Fussy will get you. I don't care if you're at the beauty shop, barber shop, or at home. I don't care if you are a parole officer. He'll get you on the job and tell you you messed him around. Fussy out there. Dr. Fussy, be serious as 8 day pneumonia. Black history in Milwaukee from your black air personalities. How did it start? Who was they? Where are they? Are any of them still around? Let's go back to the year 1947. In the year 1947, there was a guy named Larry Saunders, who now resides in the city of Madison, Wisconsin, and very active up there, I might add. Larry had a 30-minute show on WEXT, which is now WOKY. He had a man-on-the-street interview-type program from 12 until 12:30. Primarily, he was talking about the Gamma Phi Deltas and the sororities and fraternities and to the things that was going on employment-wise, or the lack of blacks being able to get into specific areas of employment in the city of Milwaukee. Larry Saunders is live and well today. And after Larry Saunders, there came another gentleman by the name of Shorty Moore. Shorty Moore was on a station by the name where my good friend Jack Lee is right now, general manager and vice president, WEMP. And Shorty Moore was a wizard at his art, very talented individual. And Shorty Moore became known for his Saturday night show. They say that we like to celebrate on Saturday night. In those days, we had little television, if any whatsoever, and a few radios. And it was a privilege and a pleasure to hear Shorty Moore on the air on Saturday night on WEMP, I might add. That's primarily because white America does not listen to very much radio on Saturday night. They're out for dinners, dining, and dancing. So they gave us Saturday night. And Saturday night was Shorty Moore night. And after Shorty Moore at WEMP, Shorty unfortunately died at Murdale, Wisconsin. You know it now as the Milwaukee County Medical Complex of tuberculosis. And after Shorty Moore, two guys came into focus, one being named Eddie O.J. That's what they called him professionally. We know him here where his mother still lives and his daughters, Karen, and the kids. And they are young ladies now. His name was Eddie Jackson. Eddie O.J. came out of service in the year 1947, and by 1948, in the beginning of 1949, Eddie O.J., he was a high class, he was one of the high steppers, you see. He was clean, good looking, quite handsome, and he, bless his soul, he then went on to WOKY, and it was the Eddie Jackson show. And he made one fatal mistake, bless his soul, I love him today. He got mixed up in an interracial marriage in those days and moved to the south side of the city. Well, they didn't appreciate either him being a black disc jockey nor marrying one of the ladies from the south side of the city. So they put a little steam under my man Eddie's boiler, and he left and went to Cleveland, Ohio to WABQ Radio, where he was a superstar in his own right at WABQ. And he had a group of guys that was hanging around in the pool hall doing a little harmonizing, a cappella style. They later became known as the OJs. You know them today as the OJs, and Eddie made plenty of money in Cleveland at ABQ, he and Brother Curtis over there, and then he went on Ken Hawkins over at WJMO also at that time in Cleveland, and we'll mention Ken Hawkins again before we're through with the program this morning. Eddie went on up to WUFO in Buffalo, New York, and there was a superstar there, and he resides today in New York City and broadcasts to Africa, to Kenya. He has a tape program that goes into the largest audience ever in radio in Kenya today. Eddie OJ, our hats off to him for that historical note. And then during that time, there was another guy that came in. It was called Tunson and the Hound. Everett Tunson, who has just retired on last year from the Miller Brewing Company. But Tunson and the Hound was a Saturday night gig also. Tunson and the Hound.
Tunson and the Hound.
He had another guy with him on Saturday night.
That was before Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, right. Tunson and the Hound. So Everett Tunson was on WRIT radio. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night from midnight until dawn on Sunday morning. But to show you how the hidden agenda factors of racism existed in the early system of radio, we either had to be on, and I'll get to that, we had to be on Saturday night, all night, from Saturday night, 12 o'clock, until early Sunday morning at 5. Just to be on radio.
So, graveyard shift.
Yeah. Rating go down, you go, get thrown off. But Tunson and the Hound, and they were a successful combo, as Jim Fraser and I are working here together. And that was the year 1949 and 50. Mm-hmm. And then in 1949, late in 49, a guy came in to take the place of the departed Shorty Moore. His name, radio name, is Manny Mauldin Jr. He is on WIMS every night here in the city right now, the college station. But they didn't call him Manny Mauldin when he first came. His name, and Lord knows if you see him today, I know he might be on the phone pretty soon. His name is Emmanuel Mauldin Jr. So he didn't like the Emmanuel part. He shortened it up and called it Manny Mauldin.
I'm going to call him Emmanuel the next time I see him.
And I'll tell him what you told me. Wait till I'm out of town. So Manny opened up this record shop on 6th and Walnut. In fact, the record shop stood where that Masonic Complex shopping center stands on 6th and Walnut today. Manny opened up OB's funeral home was across the street, and Mamie's Ebony Lounge, Lamar Franklin's mom, who has now a club on 7th and Garfield, had right across the street the club next door to Manny's record shop and Knox's Music Cafe. Yes, I'll never forget those days. I hope Richard Carter out there, the editorialist from the Market Journal, is listening, because he'll remember these things very vividly. Mm. And Manny Mauldin was the first everyday black hour personality that was on 6 days a week ever in the history of the city of Milwaukee.
Do you recall what station he was on?
He was on WMIL. WMIL.
Okay.
1290 on the dial. And now it's confusion in there, because 1290 on the dial now is WMVP.
Right.
But it was WMIL, and the transmitter and the towers was in those days by the Manpower Building on Port Washington Road. As you're going up I-43 on the freeway and you see all of those flags,
mm-hmm,
that's where the transmitter sat. Mm-hmm. Manny was on from 5:30 in the morning until 6 every morning.
Half an hour?
We had to be on before white folks got up, and off before they arrived. 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
This one half hour.
1950, 5 days a week.
man, that is a trip in itself right there. On quick and off super quick.
Yep.
That didn't make it.
And Saturday morning, of course, we got a reprieve because white people didn't get up that early. So as a result, he was on from 5:30 until 7 o'clock.
That's not much better, but I guess it was something to look at, though.
That was Manny Maldon Jr. And out of Manny Maldon Jr., Manny was the first individual to bring what we know now as the discos and all guys spinning records in every corner tavern you go to in clubs. And it was Emmanuel Maldon Jr. who started that process with some young air personalities by the name of Larry Hayes, Chuck Smith, and O.C. White. And I was the person that normally liked to do errands for Manny because he was then that day, and he is still today, a super nice individual as a human being. Mm-hmm. He has the curiosity of an alley cat, the patience of Job, and the tenacity of a British bulldog. So he does things well, Manny does. And out of that, those three guys, Manny Maldon, taught us all, and I think he did a fairly good job. Maybe that is even questionable, but what Manny did for us, Chuck Smith is at KKDA in Fort Worth, Dallas today, and he is vice president and general manager of KKDA Fort Worth, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, I'd bring Ken Hawkins up again. Larry Hayes today is the general manager, and he works for Ken Hawkins, who owns the station. And Ken was at, when Eddie O.J. was in Cleveland at ABQ, Ken Hawkins was at WJMO. He, too, was a disc jockey at the time. He now owns the station, KSS, in Atlantic City, New Jersey, all of that over there where all the gambling is going on. And Larry Hayes had nerve enough to go over there after they started the gambling. He got two or three, ask David Body, he's out there in the audience somewhere, I imagine, this morning. Mm-hmm. He had two or three old race horses. I went over there to see Larry. Them horses were so thin, you could pour a can of tomato juice down their throat, and they show up like a thermometer. And he had some limousines that looked like they ought to have been of the vintage age. Don't go back and tell him I said that. But he got two or three old limousines that run to and fro at the airport. And Larry is doing extremely well in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So our hat goes off to Manny Maldon Jr. this morning. Chuck Smith has went on to, in fact, before Chuck even left here after training by Manny Maldon Jr., Chuck, too, was on WMIL with a teenage show in the first days of Gene Chandler when he was known as the Duke of Earl. And it was Chuck Smith who had a teenage show that was sponsored by Gettleman Brewery.
Now, wait a minute.
That was a half hour every day from in the afternoon, mind you. That was in 1957.
Okay. Now, did you, in fact, start before Chuck Smith, or did you all start together, or what happened there? Because I was always under the impression that Chuck Smith came up under you.
Chuck, no. What happened is Chuck was doing the teenage show and on WMIL. Okay,
mm-hmm.
From
mm-hmm.
5:30 until 6 in the evening. And I came in with a blues show, if you will, from 6 till 6:30 in the evening on WMIL. By that time, the transmitter was where the vacant lot is now on 27th and Wisconsin Avenue on the southeast corner. There's a vacant lot there, and the building still stands that the transmitter and the broadcast studio was in, 2625 West Wisconsin Avenue. If you're driving by the other day, you'll see it.
Okay.
And the Posners, both Gene and his son Jeff, who is now a prominent attorney in the city, gave us the opportunity to make the presentation. It was like a brokerage deal. We had to pay to be on there. We did not get paid to be on there. We had to go out and get the sponsors, which sold the spots were $5 per spot.
I know some well, I won't get into that.
Yeah, so we had to go out and get the money and pay the station to be on there. Chuck Smith was the only one that had a sustained program that was paid for by a sponsor, and that was one sponsor, the Gettleman Brewing Company. And after that, Larry Hayes went to Little Rock, Arkansas. He went back home.
Uh-huh.
That's where he's from.
Uh-huh.
And he did quite well in Little Rock. Larry did, and at Little Rock, Atlanta, and now Atlantic City. And Chuck left here and went to KKDA in Fort Worth, Dallas, and he's been there 25 years.
That's a long time in radio for people who don't know it. It's not like a situation. Radio has got to be the most different ball game in the whole world. It's different from any other job that you will ever have in your life. You know, you got a lot of long timers at places like A.O. Smith, Don and Racine, and J.I. Case, you know, and you talk about 25, 30 years there. Well, you know, you get up in the morning and you go to work and you know your job is secure.
Mm-hmm.
Not in radio.
Yeah.
It used to be here today, gone tomorrow. There's such a quick turnover in radio now. It's here this morning and gone this afternoon. Yeah, they've got an evolving door.
So in order to get 25 years, then you have to do something, huh?
You have to be an exception to most rules in radio.
Yeah. So as a result of that, it is 10:20 in the morning, and we are talking about Black history. So far as radio is concerned, in the Black community of Milwaukee, how it started and who was involved. And as a result of those three guys, Larry Hayes, O.C. White, and Chuck Smith. Of course, I remember things was not too pretty good with us. We suffered along, and we didn't have much to eat. We went and did our first live broadcast on site, as we do now, the remote broadcast, at Thelma's Back Door. It was on 7th and Juno Avenue at the time.
What was Thelma's Back Door?
Thelma's Back Door was a lounge. It was like a Mr. J's or something.
Oh, okay.
And Thelma's Back Door moved from 7th and Juno up into the white community on 9th and Center, where that church and that car wash across the street from where that filling station is now.
Wait now.
Where that vacant lot is.
Wait now. Let's back up just about a half a mile here.
Yeah.
Now, you say it moved to 9th and Center?
That was in the white community.
That's what I thought you said. The 59. White community. 9th and Center was a white community.
In 1959.
Okay.
Okay. And, Manny, that was the last one we broke out, and Manny put us all down and told us we had to go for ourselves. He had nursed us long enough and nurtured us long enough. We ought to be grown men and go out and get the job on our own. He kicked us out like mothers do kids. So we spent a lonely Christmas, though, I tell you. Manny didn't have any money, and we didn't have any money, and Manny lived across the street where that gas station is there on 9th and Center. He lived right where the gas station is. And we didn't have any money, so this is 1959. And bless our souls, it was 10 below zero. And we had to go across the street on Sundays to broadcast at Thelma's. And Mr. Cecil Butts, Butts Rug and Carpet,
mm-hmm.
his lovely wife, was a young waitress there. Okay, she's a mother in the church now. She's a young waitress there, a very beautiful lady,
mm-hmm.
light-skinned, freckle-faced lady. So she was trying to help us along, give us a little coffee or something while Thelma wasn't looking, at least keep us going. So we decided we had about 57 cents between us. And if you see Manny, don't go back and tell him what I said. We had about 57 cents between Larry Hayes, Chuck Smith, and O.C. White. And David Body, he will know this to be a fact. And we didn't have much heat. So this was Christmas Eve, and our Christmas dinner went something like this. We didn't have no gas, so we had a pot-bellied stove that we had got some wood from somebody and built a fire in the stove, and it didn't heat up all the rooms in Manny's house, so we had to close some of the doors. And they put the pot-bellied stove to work and then put the water on the pot-bellied stove so some humidity would get it out, the heat wouldn't be so dry. And Manny said, ain't no need of us losing all of this energy. He says, boys, run around there and get two or three hot dogs and two or three of those big red Spanish onions, cut them up and throw them in that kettle on that stove and put the hot dogs in there and run down to Jaeger Baking Company and get a loaf of that day-old bread. I'll be back.
Filling out your 1986 income tax forms can be difficult or simple. The simple way is to call Dr. Patrick Fusi, 931-8900, 931-8900. Dr. Fusi will show you, just as he's shown many others, how you can legally get back all your money. Just call 931-8900. Dr. Fusi, expert in tax preparation, doesn't merely fill out the forms. He digs up deductions, educates you on how to earn additional tax write-offs. He can even show you how to turn most everyday expenses into a tax deduction. Today, learn how to write off your car, rent, mortgage, utilities, travel, and entertainment expenses. Plus, since tax forms will be different in 1987, Dr. Fusi will give you tips on how to legally get back all your money in 1987. Dr. Fusi guarantees that if you're not completely satisfied with his service, then you pay nothing. That's right, satisfaction guaranteed, or you pay nothing. So today, get the largest tax refund check you've ever seen. It's simple and easy. Call Dr. Fusi, 931-8900. 931-8900. Call now.
I most certainly will now.
Wait a minute, doctor. A lady just called. She said, oh, see, I'm not, don't tell my age, but I remember everything that you're talking about right there.
Well, let me continue about the pot. We threw the four hot dogs in the pot. That was four of us. That was one each. Went down to Yeager Baking Company and to get the loaf of day-old bread, and they had a sale down there. You got two. Because they were going to be closed Christmas. And they had more bread than they could use. And the farmers usually come and get the bread to feed the pigs. But the snowstorm, so the farmers couldn't get in. They didn't want the bread to spoil. So they had two loaves. The giant loaves you pay for a dollar and something now. They had two loaves for 15 cents. Boy, and that was a bargain. Got back with those two loaves of bread. Those four hot dogs and that jar, small jar of mayonnaise. And then big red onions. And wait just a minute, Fraser. And Manny Marlin said, look here. He said, O.C., come back with two loaves. I walked. Didn't have no car. And said, came back with two loaves. Lord knows we're going to have a feast. Said, when the meat run out, we can put the mayonnaise on the bread, and it tastes just as good, fellas. In the meantime, the fire's getting a little low, and Larry a little lazy. Had to go out and get some more wood put in the fire. And then we all sat around with our overcoats on to enjoy our Christmas Eve together. That was in the year 1960. It ended in 1960. And then I became affiliated with WMIL on that everyday basis. Manny kicked us out, as I said before, and we had to go for ourselves. And Larry Hayes went to WFOX, which is now WNOV.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry was on, and I was on, and we was cooking by then. Then Brooke Benton, Donna Watson came out with a record called Baby, You Got What It Takes. Yeah, and it's a rocking good way. Kitty Yo and all that stuff came out.
Some good stuff.
Yeah, the Spaniels. And then the Motown thing came in, okay? 1961, WAWA was born in September of 1961. And it was originally not to be a black station. It was to be licensed to the city of West Allis. However, after three successive months of no revenue, the owners of Mr. Neil K. Searles, who's retired now, and the late Herbert L. Mount, a prominent attorney, who lived up in Hubertus, Wisconsin, put WAWA together with Mr. Jack Krause, our chief engineer, who is now semi-retired, and put it together, and they tried it for 3 months to make it work for the city of West Allis, and at that time they did not recognize or want to advertise, and as a result, Mr. Neil Searles, who at one time I served as his paper boy, and he knew I was at WML, he came to me and said, O.C., and you talking about being on the line, I was on the line, he said, do you think if we turn this thing around and make it a black station, that you could make it survive in the economic world? I said, yes, I think I can. If you give me the opportunity, I'll show you what I know to do, and you can help me along the way and teach me, please, and stand by me. And I continued to call on Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And 1961, October the 1st, is when I started at WAWA. And at those days and times, still, they had white announcers here for the most part. I was on at the customary time. The black community had gotten used to being up at 5 o'clock in the morning to hear the radio. So I was on from like 5:30 till 7 because I was working for a Milwaukee General Construction Company as a bulldozer operator and a form setter and a cement finisher. So I worked from 5:30 in the morning on WAWA till 7 in the morning. And then at 7, I had to be on the bulldozer at 8. So I went to the bulldozer at 8, and then we had a little success out of the black community. They seemed to have liked what they heard. And as a result, then Manny moved away for a while, okay?
What, out of town?
Yeah, yeah. No, he moved out of town for a while.
Okay.
He went home to Chicago. And so that left nobody really here but me. And I was wrestling with this thing. And from 5:30 to 7 in the morning on WAWA, this is 1961 and early, late 1961 and early 62. Then we got a little success. The black community, I guess, liked what they heard. So we then went on from 5 till 8 in the afternoon. So now this is operating this bulldozer. This front end loader, they call them now, whatever you call it, 977, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And operating that for 8 hours a day, sitting up under that all that smoke. And then getting up at 3:30 in the morning, and Movie over at Movie's place, he used to bring me to work. See, I didn't have no car.
Well, where was WA situated? Where was the
station? It was across the station itself. Was about 50 yards from where we are now, over there in that end motel unit.
Man, you had to come a long ways to work.
Yeah, it? Booby made sure I got there. He had just got out of service, and he had a little old Thunderbird.
Huh.
And he had a little gray one, and he used to carry me to work, see? I didn't have no car. So financial things got better, so I bought a 36 Plymouth.
Okay.
I paid $50 for a 36 Plymouth. Up there where that vacant field is now was Northwestern Ford, and I paid $50 for it. Drove it 2 years and sold it for $75. And the only thing wrong with the thing, it didn't have any reverse. And Ernie Payne up there at 4870 West Farm Lake Avenue, he was a young mechanic at the time, on 17th and North Avenue, where that delicatessen, Jake's Delicatessen, mm-hmm. across the street is now a vacant lot, but that was Ernie's first garage. And Ernie made a trade deal. He said, "You sound pretty good. If you play me a record, I'll fix your car where you can back up, where you don't have to park by them fire plugs everywhere you go." So Ernie fixed my 36 Plymouth, and then I was on the road. And then they asked me if I would work in the afternoon from 5 to 8. Well, I was already on 5:30 in the morning till 7. That's an hour and a half. And then 5 to 8, that's 4.5 hours of radio plus 8 hours on the bulldozer. Got too much for me. So I was searching around. Then another guy came to town. And as he came to town, I asked him, I said, "Hey, man, look here. You sound pretty good, and you got a unique act. So come on in here, and let's ride back." And this guy was named...
Because a good-doing Dr. Bob's the best that ever did it and got away with it. I think it really should have been triplets. It's unfair for one man to be so tough. Bob be my name, music is my game, and WAWA is my claim to fame. And I'm that cat with a fine brown frame. And say, young fox, are you ready for this? I'm 29 in the waist, and I'm 42 across the chest. And I got a built-in loving machine, and it's about a solid mess. Can you dig it? I've got a rap so neat, it can't be beat. My love making so strong, it makes the best of women want to do wrong. And that's gospel, the First Corinthians, and the 15th verse. I'm a stone lover, next Golden Glover. I'm a chick chaser, and a money waster. There's one thing I can know this evening, and I find me a slab of femininity somewhere in Milwaukee, who is mentally and physically sufficiently capacitated to accommodate the virility and divinity of Dr. Bob's nonstop masculinity. A masculine doesn't wear out as the day wears on. He keeps on strolling throughout the night. I retrospect, young lady. I'm about as young as your man needs to be. I'm just as strong as he's due to be. And I know doggone well, I'm more man than Ham can ever be. Watch out, mother child. It's magic come to play, but I've come to love a while. Because I am that black bandit. More foreign planet, a planet too romantic, gigantic, and titanic for any woman to stand it. Might as well get your love in your hand. Because the physician's here to lead you to the promised land. Day will be Sunday, every month of May, and every year of the year Jubilee. Children will call my name in the streets. Women will bow down before my feet, just to touch the hem of my garment and be made whole. And see, you fine young thing over there, with a gleam in your eye, with a smile on your lips and your hand on your hips, you listen, and you listen good. And don't you ever forget it, that just 1 ounce Dr. Bob's love is overwhelming more satisfying than 175 pounds of your main squeeze. Because after all, Dr. Bob is one half of what you've always wanted, two-thirds of what you presently need, and twice as good a lover as your husband can ever be. And I got more of what you want. And on top of that, I'm just as pretty as I can be.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was a guy, and we had so much fun together. Jim, his name was Dr. Bob.
How well I remember
Dr. Real life,
yeah.
Hoyt Locke.
That was a legend. You know, see, that brought back a lot of memories listening to that. You know, that's when radio was radio.
Oh, we had fun. It was personality radio.
You know, and in order for radio to survive.
That's why I try to do the blues show on Saturday morning. You hear me?
Yeah. It's got to come back to that.
Yeah,
it's got to come back to that.
And now... Dr. Bob, and Bob had his thing, too. I'm telling you, you're talking about fun. Bob liked peach cobbler, blackberry cobblers, and he was really a very private person. He wasn't doing radio or making an appearance someplace. You could hardly get him to talk at all unless you knew him extremely well. He wasn't a blabbermouth in person that he was on radio. So, Bob... And baby girl, we'll just leave it. But he was a lot of fun. He liked to eat. They'd go home with these peach cobblers, Dr. Bob would, and pull the shades and lock the door. And he wouldn't answer the one phone that everybody had the number. And I and baby girl and just a couple other people had his private number. And I'd call him up, and he said, "Man, why you call me bugging me? I'm up in here trying to eat this peach cobbler, and it's just floating in butter at your feet." So you asked Ms. Hickson, he was that kind of guy, but a most magnificent human being, and he went to every part of the city, or we went to every part of the city. Bob, the reason I ended up doing the morning show for all those years, because Bob, you know, all of us have our hang-ups. Bob could not get up in the morning.
Gotta make time.
No, he tried to make this thing happen in the morning, and I was going to go to the afternoon because I was on the construction. But Bob fooled around there, and he couldn't get up in the morning, so that made me, I didn't quit the construction job. I took a 30-year leave of absence. I got 2 years left.
A 30-year leave of absence?
Yeah, I was there 10 years, so I took a 30-year leave of absence.
Another first in Black history.
So, as a result of that, I went to the morning show, and Bob went to the afternoon from 2 to 6, and boy, how he did kick. And on that, then we had some youngsters to come up behind us, with us. His name is Larry O.J., Melvy Soul, we called him, and King James.
Well, I remember.
Okay. And those guys came. Well...
I think you had another gentleman, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Al Ballard.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that next.
Okay.
Larry O.J. came up. I mean, Larry is now in Detroit, and he's the number one voice. He's not called Larry O.J. anymore. It is Dr. Lawrence Elliott, and he is the number one voice in Detroit. Melvy Soul is not called Melvy Soul anymore. He is in Memphis, and he is called a Cookin' Jones now.
Melvin a Cookin' Jones.
Yes,
indeed.
Melvin a Cookin' Jones. And he's doing just that. He is the number one voice in Memphis. So King James, unfortunately, passed away from cancer some 5 years ago. But those were the big three. And then here come Al Ballard. Al Ballard and Jim Fraser left Greenville, Mississippi about the same time. And Fraser, when they left originally Greenville, Mississippi, Fraser came to WMPP in Chicago, and a guy named J.J., who was 5 feet tall and weighed 400 pounds, was a friend of Muhammad Ali, and Fraser perhaps knows Muhammad Ali better than most people in the city of Milwaukee. And as a result, and I'll let him explain about that in a minute, but Al Ballard, he's up in San Francisco now, bless his soul. His lovely wife Mary is still here, and the kids. And brother Al, I tell you, he had some unfortunate circumstance. Then the riots came in 1967, and Ballard had a little Rambler station wagon or something, and no, it wasn't a station wagon, a little Rambler coupe. And they got to 27th and Center, and I had gotten permission from a belligerent Chief Breyer for our air personalities, Dr. Bopman and all that, mm-hmm. to be on the air. So they locked the city up. Nobody could move, so they would let us come to the radio station. And the stores were all closed, and we had to call. I called Herb Cole, who's now the chairman of the Board of the Bucks. And they opened up the stores in the community where the young mothers could get milk for their babies and food stuff. Yeah. Some of them out there, I remember that. Mm-hmm. But Al Ballard got on 27th and Center, and the riot squad, or the 700 squad, or whatever you call the tactical squad, stopped Al and say, hey, niggas, said, don't you know ain't nobody supposed to be moved on the street? He said, but I work at WAWA, and I got permission from Mr. O.C. White, who is our assistant general manager and program director, and said, I got permission from him to travel, and he got permission from the chief, and the riot squad asked him, said, what's in that trunk? Thought he had a can of gasoline or something in there, because it didn't have no cap on it. You could smell gas, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was hot in the summertime, so he asked him, what's in that trunk? And Al said, well, you know, I don't know what's in there. I just bought the car. He said, you one of them smart niggas. I take this shotgun and blow it over. Al said, good, then we'll both know what's in there. And by that time, 1968 came, and then Jim Fraser.
April 15th, as a matter of fact, 1968. There were a few of us who came. As a matter of fact, we were not supposed to stay. And those three included Butterball. That's what we called him. His name was Bill Crane. Cecil Hale and myself, we were transferred from WVON in Chicago under the ownership of Leonard and Phil Chess to the station now called WNOV. That was our sister station at the time. And our premier thing was to get the station off the ground, get it running, and then we were going back to Chicago to WVON to a regular slot there. But it got good. Cecil Hale went back, Butterball went back, and I stayed.
And you've been here ever since?
And I've been here since April 15th, 1968. Now, Cecil Hale is living in Paris, France.
Oh, yes.
Butterball, Bill Crane, is at WLS Radio. He's a chief engineer over there and doing remarkably well.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. He's about in the 5 or 6 figure bracket over there now, and Lord knows how many figures Cecil is doing right now over in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's his home over there, and we made our premiere here April 15, 1968, and after we got it started off and got it running pretty good, O.C. was still at WAWA at the time, and a lot of folk thought that because I was at one station, O.C. was at another. Now, we battled, we fought like cats and dogs on the air, but little did they know that O.C. and I had known each other prior to my coming to Milwaukee. We'd see each other at conventions, NATRA, which is an abbreviation for National Association of Television and Radio Announcers. Boy, I wish they'd come back. And, you know, we got hooked up that way. And
the Marvin Gayes, the Smokey Robinsons, the Aretha Franklin, yeah, and Natalie Cole. Yeah. Natalie was small, and Diana Ross was small. Jack, you know him now as Jack the Rapper.
Out of Orlando, Florida,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And see, those kind of people. And those kind of conventions were held in various cities. And that's why I say today that during that time, O.C. and I were in the air more than most disc jockeys are on the air. There was a plane out of here going wherever it was. O.C. was on one, I was on the other. We'd hook up in Chicago at O'Hare Field and go to wherever we had to go to. And right after that, a gentleman now working at Channel 4, WTMJ, his name is Bill Taylor. Bill came to Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, I had known Bill in Chicago. And then, too, like O.C., I was in charge of WNOV Radio. I was program director, and that was as high as the boss went. Other than that, it was Mr. Bob Bell, who was general manager, but he lived in Chicago. And Bill came in search of a job. And I had promised Bill, I said, once we get situated, man, you're going to have to take over. And one Sunday, that's how Bill caught me, because I normally wasn't at the station, but being in the position that O.C. can testify to this, being a manager himself, Bill just happened to come up to Milwaukee. Now, I don't think he just happened to come. He came with a purpose, And he caught me at the radio station and said, man, I'm holding you to your word. I'm here and I'm ready to work.
And he's been smoking ever since.
He's been smoking ever since. But the killing part is, Bill didn't tell me that he had his wife and children downstairs in the car.
So you didn't have no choice but give him a job.
Baggage and all. I said, hey, man, do you have somewhere to stay? He said, don't worry about that. Do I get the job? I said, well, as of 5 minutes ago, you just went on payroll. I said, now what about the house? He said, I can't repeat what he said. But Bill started the workforce, and like OC said, he's been smoking ever since.
And now he lives in the city of Mequon, and his lovely wife is an attorney, and he and the family are doing quite well. Bill Taylor is
very well.
A memorable person and a personable personality at WTMJ-TV.
You know, see, it's been said to copy is the most sincerest form of flattery, and I feel that now, if it sounds like I'm getting ready to pin bouquets on OC and myself, I am. Like I said, you know, to copy is the most sincerest form of flattery, and I guess throughout the years, OC and I must be the most flattered people in the business here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because I remember one gentleman that I could do the morning show, and I didn't have to tape my show. I just waited until he came on the air, and I could hear my show all over again. So I knew what I sounded like that morning. And the same applied to OC. You know, you've got your interns. And now here's where the helping situation comes in. I know for a fact that OC did it, and I did it too. If I had a dollar for everybody that I trained, and OC had the same amount, well, we could do very well right now. I wouldn't have to worry about a thing. OC could smile and style in. See, he wouldn't have to be sitting here sweating and cussing and going on at Dr. Fousey.
In fact, Al Perkins of Al, you know him now as Al Hudson.
Mm-hmm. In one way. Al Hudson, one way, yeah.
I started Al Perkins here, if you recall.
Al
Perkins. And he became later as the number one voice in Detroit, where he was murdered not too many years ago, about 11 years ago, as the Perkins. Later. And then came our own Bob Collins.
Bob was a newsman, as a matter of fact.
Bob Collins, who is now the boss here at the programming. And Bob came over to 5609 West North Avenue, what was then WAWAFM, and Reverend Johnny E. Jackson was our gospel person. And, of course, Reverend W.D. Patterson on Channel 24 came in to do WAWAFM when we obtained it in 1964. And he came in to do the AM, and then we switched the gospel to the FM, and then it was Reverend Johnny E. Jackson here for 23 years of that. And we had a lot of fun. Let me break away here and do something. We'll be right back and see how much you know is what I told the truth or not this morning. 799-1590. You out there in the audience, you get ready. And do you remember any of this, or am I telling the truth or just seeing ghosts? Hang on.
Fashionable Frames carries the latest in eyewear. Among their large selection, you'll find Billy Dee Williams, Playboy, Pierre Cardin, Hazel, Gucci, Christian Dior, and many others. If you want the latest in eyewear, see the Sight Center. They have the styles to fit your lifestyle, featuring the latest design and color. If you haven't been to the Sight Center, you should. The Sight Center has experienced professional licensed optometrists ready to examine your eyes and handle any sight problems you may have. Call the Sight Center at 445-5501. Mention you heard their commercial on WAWA, and you receive a coupon worth $100 off your second pair of glasses. That's right. Call the Sight Center at 445-5501. Mention WAWA, and you receive a coupon worth $100 off your second pair of glasses. The Sight Center, 4001 West Capitol Drive.
Hey, we will be with you in 60 seconds, so don't you go away.
OC, prevent costly transmission problems. Get a transmission tune-up at Acura Transmission Service for just $9.95. The lowest priced in Milwaukee tune-up includes the road test, cleaning the pan and the screen, replace the pan gasket, band and linkage adjustment, and change the transmission fluid. Acura Transmission is Wisconsin's largest independently owned transmission service. Transmission tune-ups just $9.95. Since 1966, Acura Transmission has fixed over 300,000 transmissions for just $9.95. Acura Transmission will provide you with the best transmission service you have ever seen. Tune-ups take about a half hour, so my friend, just call Acura for an appointment and they'll do it for you while you wait. 5 convenient locations to serve you, including 7124 West on Fond du Lac Avenue, 4106 North on 76th Street. You should have your transmission tuned up every 20,000 miles or sooner to avoid costly repairs. My tip to you is take your car to where you get accurate service. That's accurate transmission service, and tell them OC sent you.
Thank you. Yeah, Jimmy Evans ain't complete.
Well,
before we go
yeah, as a matter of fact, I remember, O.C., for 10 years running, why I hated your natural guts.
You hate me, I was your friend.
I know that, but you took an award from me, and I'm coming out to your house and get the reward, that award back, too. For those of you who don't know, for 10 years running at our convention, the National Association of Television and Radio Announcers, O.C. White took top awards. The best black disc jockey in the country.
And that was because of community involvement primarily, I guess, and all the things at Garfield Park, Dandelion Park, O.C. White's old club establishment, painting the elders' home, giving away the Christmas basket.
Go ahead, drop a few names if you want to. No, that's all right. See, when I said in the country, I didn't mean just Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Racine, or Kenosha. I said in the entire country. And believe me, that was and still is an honor to reckon with. And, well, we had some heavyweights in those days. O.C. named a few.
Georgie Woods.
Oh, man. George, the man with the goods, WDAS in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Boy Brown at WKJET in Beaumont, Texas.
See, those were heavyweights. And not only...
Rodney Jones.
Eve Rodney. Where is he? Down in New Orleans?
Yes, he's in Shreveport.
Okay. Shreveport, Louisiana. Yeah. And
Joe Howard in Detroit. And Hal Jackson Jr. Hal Jackson Sr., I should say.
Big boys in the business.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Eddie Castleberry, and you hear him on Sheridan Black Network News now sometimes.
Yes, Sir Walter.
Yeah.
All the big fellas out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Hal Brown at WMA, the AMO in Pittsburgh, and Sir Walter does a talk show. And Chatty Hattie at WGIV in Charlotte.
Yeah,
right. Chatty Hattie.
That was the gentleman out of Memphis, Tennessee. You probably in the audience know him as a recording artist, but O.C. and I remember when he was on radio station WDIA. That's when he started walking the dog.
Rapping Rufus Thomas.
That's him.
Yeah, and Honey Boy.
That's him, yeah. Mooha and all the fellas down there in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, and then St. Louis Spider.
Oh, goodness.
There was
O.C., I can't remember his name. Perhaps you can help me with this. He was the president. I believe he was the president at one time. He was out of St. Louis. Dave Dixon.
He died on the way back from Chicago.
Died on the way back from Chicago. That is right.
Car accident.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
O.C. White, yes. I am the one that called in and told you that I remembered everything. As Jim might know me, he knows me at that time, even when he came here to
Maxine.
The concert, as Maxine and Gaynard.
All right, darling. We're trying to get as many calls in as we possibly can this morning. I thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Do you know, did we tell the truth or did I tell the truth? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I remember a lot of black DJs, Jim Frazier and yourself, and I wanted to remember Sweet Me Cool.
Who, dear?
Sweet Me Cool, Donnie Lyons.
Oh, yeah. He was a byproduct. He's over there in Michigan now acting like he didn't have no good sense. Yeah, he's over here.
And another one that passed on that, you know, was King James and Dr. D. Wassaw.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember Dr. D. I think Dr. D. had a heart attack on the playground.
Yes, he did.
Playing basketball. Yeah, I remember him very well. Yes, indeed.
And those were some of the greats, and as yourself, still the great. And I just like to say, keep on keeping on.
Well, black history in Milwaukee, so far as black communication and radio is concerned. You know, we just trying to make it. In fact, I do a blues show every Saturday morning now. They got me back on here.
O.C. tells you that. He gets down to where the rubber beats the road.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good morning. What do you say?
Good morning, O.C.
Yeah, that's
the truth. I say that you telling the truth because Dr. Bob was one of the greatest. I come up under Dr. Bob, and I thank God today for the great Dr. Bob. He did everything for the community, and if it wasn't from him, I don't think I would have made it myself because Dr. Bob opened up a lot of ways for us kids when we were kids at that time.
Yeah, and he had all those beauty contests and kids.
He got us passes to the movies when the parents couldn't pay our way, and he set up dance parties for the kids that was having birthdays. He recognized us, O.C. We didn't have nothing, but he made it out of something, and I thank God for Dr. Bob, and I hate he's gone because I really miss him.
One of the reasons that we are probably falling behind in black communities of America today, those who are capable of doing and have got will not reach back and get those who have not.
That's right, O.C. And Dr. Bob, he's the greatest.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun that he and I had.
He sure was.
All right, darling.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, tremendous person. Good morning.
Good morning, OC. Your program was beautiful this morning. I would like to hear tapes of King James.
Yeah, I had a tape of King James, and it's not partially erased. It's not very clear. I had one of King before he passed away, and he was a lot of fun. In fact, Tyrone Davis is going to be in town on Friday up at the Odyssey, and Tyrone and King James used to stay up all night, and I don't know where in the world it was, but anyway, they got raided one night, and they called me at home, and I had to go to the police station with the house slippers and robe and pajamas and beg the captain to let him out because all of us together didn't have much money. The captain wanted $500, but we got out and he got to work.
Yeah, I remember how much he loved Tyrone Davis music.
Yeah, a lot of fun King James was.
Okay, thank you.
And forever will be remembered.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning.
Yes, and Dr. White, I like to say that Dr. Bob did a lot for the community, too. And once a DJ came on and a record played all night long, and we finally got in contact with you that next morning, and we asked you was on the weekend, what happened to that Mac, that DJ? You said he got fired.
Yeah, that was Mike Miles. He's now down in Kenosha at a station now.
WLIP.
Yeah, that was Mike Miles. I remember that.
Yeah, you did a lot for the city of Milwaukee Fires, DJs, and Dr. Bob. And the wives, the husbands would get bad about how he would say the women would fret.
That's why
the women's pet.
That's why he had to go home and pull them shades down so
that's
the husbands
right.
He didn't want nobody to know where he lived. He told all that talking in and wasn't going to do nothing. Ran.
That's right.
Okay, darling. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was guys and King Nate and other guys that came through. There was a
Nate
lot of
Bridges
fun.
And
yeah.
Fellas like that.
And Mr. Walter G. Beach and Miss Janetta Robinson did the talk show for us. It was called Community Challenge, Milwaukee Challenge.
Yes, indeed.
Good morning.
Hello, O.C.?
Yes.
I heard you talking about Manny Marlin Jr. this morning.
Yes.
And I used to live right up the step with him when we had the record shop on 6th and Walnut.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about then, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh. And, you know, I remember when he first left here, something happened to him.
He went back home to Chicago.
And it was broadcast on the radio that he had died.
No. He went back home to Chicago.
Oh, there wasn't his wife named Bessie?
Yeah.
Okay, I talked to her and she told me that.
Yeah, well, no, he's still alive. He was yesterday evening, I know that much.
Yeah, I know, because he came back down, what, about 4 or 5 years ago?
I was hoping he was going to be out of town because I knew he was going to do this Black History this morning, but I went by his house and his car was there and I saw the little head moving around in there. I didn't want to stop and don't nobody go back and tell him what I said about them onions either.
Yeah, because I knew him and Bessie.
All right, dear.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
OC, good morning. Hello? Hello?
Yes, I want to ask Frazier, I remember one person they didn't even mention, Cigar Lewis.
Oh, Tommy Cigar Lewis. Yeah, well,
he was never.
I remember Tommy very well. As a matter of fact, I still know Tommy very well. Tommy was one of the premier nightclub jocks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
Tommy gave up the business a little while ago. Well, I take that back. As a matter of fact, I think Tommy is still spinning records. I don't know the locations, but, you know,
he was primarily talking about the guys on the air that have been on the air. With no discredit to any one of the guys who had followed and then done a good job in the community. Okay, lady?
Yeah.
All right, there.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I got to do this couple of things, and then we'll have to close up for
that. Okay.
The Site Center, 4001 West Capitol Drive, the home of fashionable frames, carries the latest in eyewear. Among their large selection, you'll find Billy Dee Williams, Playboy, Pierre Cardin, Hazel, Gucci, Christian Dior, and many others. If you want the latest in eyewear, see the Site Center. They have the styles to fit your lifestyle, featuring the latest design and color. If you haven't been to the Site Center, you should. The Site Center has experienced professional licensed optometrists ready to examine your eyes and handle any sight problems you may have. Call the Site Center at 445-5501. Mention you heard their commercial on WAWA, and you receive a coupon worth $100 off your second pair of glasses. That's right. Call the Site Center at 445-5501. Mention WAWA, and you receive a coupon worth $100 off your second pair of glasses. The Site Center, 4001 West, Capitol Drive.
And the first black female air personality was the sister of the guy that owns the Odyssey. Dave Reynolds, his sister, Othella, was the first black female air personality on the air in the city of Milwaukee.
Is that right? What station?
Right here, WAWA.
Is that right?
Yeah, she had a show in the afternoon. Then came Misty and all these other people, you know.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Take a tip from me, OC. Prevent costly transmission problems. Get a transmission tune-up at Acura Transmission Service for just $9.95. The lowest priced in Milwaukee tune-up includes the road test, cleaning the fan and the screen, replace the fan gasket, band and linkage adjustment, and change the transmission fluid. Acura Transmission is Wisconsin's largest independently owned transmission service. Transmission tune-ups just $9.95. Since 1966, Acura Transmission has fixed over 300,000 transmissions for just $9.95. Acura Transmission will provide you with the best transmission service you have ever seen. Tune-ups take about a half hour, so my friend, just call Acura for an appointment and they'll do it for you while you wait. 5 convenient locations to serve you, including 7124 West on Fond du Lac Avenue, 4106 North on 76th Street. You should have your transmission tuned up every 20,000 miles or sooner to avoid costly repairs. My tip to you is take your car to where you get Acura service. That's Acura Transmission Service, and tell them OC sent you.
Well, Jim, it's time for us to go.
I sure hate to. I really hate to. Well, you know, it's been a blast this morning, and I certainly hope the people listening have had as much fun as we've had bringing it to them this morning.
Well, we got to get into, before the end of the Black History Month, perhaps we'll get into the gospel and who was first and who did what. And we go back to the days of Elmer Chisholm and Reverend Latham and Mrs. Johnny Latham, those people who made the gospel possible. But we'll get a chance to get to all of that, too, hopefully before Black History concludes. There's so much to tell, and we try to remember it so well. But have a good day. We love you anyway. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Airchecks.com.